Some of you may have noticed that our daughter Lucy carries around a very ratty-looking stuffed lamb whom she calls Lolly. You want to show him? She often loses herself in the soothing rhythm of thumb-sucking and lovey-stroking while she holds Lolly. Our son Jonah has a similar lovey friend, a very well-loved lion named Leo. My best friend Jill, to whom I often refer as my sister, gave our children their loveys. These stuffed animal loveys have become a part of our family. From the time he was 3 months old, Jonah has carried Leo with him and still sleeps with him every night. As a big, tough second grader, Jonah now leaves Leo home a lot, but that's not to say that the bond between them has weakened. As many of you know, our family moved to San Diego just a few months ago in January. Before we arrived here, my husband John spent 6 weeks working here, while the children and I waited until our Bay Area home had sold. Those weeks were not easy for any of us. Thankfully, John came home every weekend, but with the house for sale, new job stress, and the impending move, we were all feeling really tender. One Saturday, we went to see a movie. Jonah made the unusual decision to bring Leo with him. And John and I are generally against this because Leo is absolutely irreplaceable. But we made an exception that day. You see, once a lovey has reached the level of lovedness that Leo and Lolly have, replacements do not exist. It is not possible to begin again with an off-the-shelf stuffed animal that hasn't been slept on, sucked on, barfed on, loved on, or had its fur rubbed raw. Our loveys are not simply consumable products purchasable from stores. They're members of our family. Early the next morning, Jonah came into our bedroom and told us he couldn't find Leo. I suggested he go to the garage and look in the car. 10 minutes later, he returned with tears in his eyes. We arrived at the theater doors the moment they opened. The manager assured us his staff had thoroughly checked the lost and found box. Leo wasn't in the auditorium, the men's room, or the concession stand. Just as we were about to exit, I asked the manager if he would allow me to take a peek into the lost and found box myself. So just imagine that box in a busy suburban movie theater on a cold, rainy December Sunday morning. It was stacked up high, full of forgotten umbrellas, lost sweaters, misplaced scarves, and single gloves. It looked hopeless. I slowly removed each article. Just when I was about to give up, I spotted a tiny glimpse of the tattered, honey-colored fur of a super-loved lion lovey. My son's desperately sad face smiled with relief, and I cried as I embraced him and his lovey. The idea that my children should ever feel shame, fear, anxiety, or grief is deeply painful to me, and I want to do everything in my power to prevent or at least postpone those feelings from existing in their innocent lives. I was terrified, knowing that we were preparing to move away from our home and that Jonah would not have Leo to comfort and keep him safe. Child psychologists refer to loveys, blankies, and pacifiers as transitional objects. Essentially, they represent love, comfort, warmth, safety, and security, the essence of parenthood. Children often have rhythmic rituals associated with their loveys, as our Lucy does by sucking her thumb, as she's doing right now, and Jonah had with gently stroking Leo's tail. These objects and their rituals help bridge life's gaps between what is known to be safe, like mom, dad, home, the family dog, and what is unknown and scary, new experiences, new friends, new schools, new homes, new communities. I was recently asked the question, what brings tears to my eyes? Recalling the story of Leo lost in the movie theater, I replied, reuniting my child with what he needs to be okay. Pondering that idea in a broader context, I wonder what we each need to be okay, and also, why aren't we okay? To me, okay is belonging, feeling valued, a part of, worthy, and connected. The opposite of those are isolation, guilt, shame, and fear. In our adult lives, we too have plenty of unknowns and scary new situations. We all share shame-based insecurities like not feeling good enough, questioning our place in the world, our stature, and our simplest sense of safety. Like modern-day children, grown-ups are surrounded by noise, almost always negative, making us believe we're not good enough, smart enough, thin enough, healthy enough, or wealthy enough. We're also assaulted with hierarchies, us against them thinking, which lead to the inevitable conclusion that we're either right or wrong, on the top or the bottom, better than or worse. The horrible events of the past few weeks and days shed harsh light on such hierarchies. Together, we grieve the loss of so many innocent lives. Whether it's racism, police profiling, senseless gun violence, the tragic result of the same, horrific tragedies in the name of fictional hierarchies. A few weeks ago, a great friend of mine invited me to attend a women's drumming circle. At first, I was a little intimidated by that idea, and frankly, even more so when I learned there was a drumming class offered before the circle. If there was material to be taught, I assumed there would be an expectation of drumming ability that I was certain I did not possess. Before the evening ever began, I knew I wasn't good enough. Well, that wasn't true in innumerable ways. First of all, once I got my hands on a drum, it was not difficult to make a sound. Mimicking the rhythms the instructor asked us to repeat wasn't too hard either. I wouldn't go so far as to say that I'm a good drummer, but it felt very natural to me. The circle began and the enormous low-lit room was filled with rhythms. Women of all ages hooted, hollered, and drummed. Some sang, some stomped, all rejoiced, and none judged. Eventually, women and children began to dance to the rhythms. My hands started to ache from pounding on the drum, so I took off my shoes, closed my eyes, and stood up to feel that rhythm. What I experienced was intoxicating. As a sober woman in recovery, I cannot honestly say I've ever experienced such transcendence and sobriety as I did in that moment. I danced from a spiritual place and felt renewed by the shared rhythm. I felt deeply connected with a room full of strangers. Black, white, Asian, Latina, young, old, we all shared the same beat. There were no differences, no hierarchies, just a room full of booty-shaking rhythm worshipers. Now, I had expected that the rhythm of a drumming circle would sound chaotic and disorganized, but it wasn't. Each of the 50-plus drummers played her part in the evolving symphony. The songs came about organically, as if all were connected by the singular beat. As adults, we don't usually suck our thumbs or snuggle lovies. As we grow, we have to survive without those soothing comforts. This is not to say that we outgrow the need for them. Many of us choose unhealthy vices like smoking, overeating, abusing substances, or drinking. There's rhythms in those rituals, too. Drinking is also associated with specific activities or times of the day, like happy hour or special holiday cocktails. Smoking very closely mimics thumb sucking. It's an oral activity using fingers. Smokers have rituals like going outside to smoke at certain times of the day. There's also the rhythm of the inhaling and exhaling of smoke. Studies have connected the rate of infant sucking while nursing to match the rhythm of their mother's heartbeats. Essentially, infants can recreate the rhythmic environment from their womb. Have you ever experienced the pure joy of rocking a baby to sleep? Clearly, there's comfort in that ritual. Rhythm is the core of humanity. Sunrise, sunset, tides come in, tides go out, full moon, new moon. These remind me of our seventh UU principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Rhythm is what connects us within this web. We live according to the rhythms of the earth and our position in the solar system. In my personal practice, God is human connection, and the sun is my higher power. That drumming evening got me thinking about rhythms, heartbeats, nursing, and thumb sucking. My babies use their lovies and their thumbs to create their own safe rhythms. I personally feel calmer at the beach. The vibrational energy, oceanic rhythms, and cleansing ocean air, those healing forces help me feel less anxious and more connected in the present moment. Drums are believed to be the first human musical instruments, and they date back to well before we started capturing history in books. Some say that the beat of the drum has the power to change natural elements, like the weather. Drum beats are believed to have the power to heal sickness. And some believe they have the power to send messages, both within the animal and spirit worlds. I'm personally not certain about all of that, but I do know that shared rhythm can calm our anxious spirits and quiet our frenzied minds. What I know to be true that is that in quiet stillness, where we focus on simple rhythms of our own breath and heartbeats, when we can listen for and connect to our own spiritual guides, we find the safety we seek, the easy reminder that each of us is enough. Tapping into our own simple rhythms brings us back to ourselves and allows us to find serenity in the chaos. As a recovering alcoholic and a person closely related to many with chemical dependencies, I've learned a lot about addiction. Before I came to the compassionate understanding that addiction is quite simply a lonely place, I thought that addicts were just trying to make life difficult for the folks around them. I now see that addicts are just looking for their lost rituals, trying to quiet the chaos with a forced external rhythm. Now that I've had the privilege of spending the past 12 months surrounded by the healing love of the recovery community, I endorse the words of Johann Hari, in whose TED Talk he proclaimed, "The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection." Can you imagine how different our world would be if we each took time out every day to meditate? What if we each added some dancing to our daily grind? I think there would be less hate, more connection, more compassion, less fear, and more love. So I'd like to invite you to join me now to dance. Let's dance in joy, in sorrow, in grief, in anger, in hope, and compassion. Let's dance for peace. Please stand in body or spirit and dance with me.